With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, hello, and welcome, or should I say welcome back, to the Indie Football Podcast. The World Cup Daily Edition. It's Wednesday, and we got our first team eliminated. Unfortunate Morocco going out after a 1-0 defeat to Portugal. We've also had, I don't even know how to describe the game between Saudi Arabia and Uruguay. Critch, what on earth would you describe that as?
I wouldn't say that it was the kind of turkey shoot that we were expecting from Uruguay, certainly, who Saudi Arabia are not, at least they're not trying to do things that they're not capable of now, really, but they're still, they've obviously been eliminated with that result, as have Egypt, as were Morocco with the earlier one. And although, you know, they looked a little bit more solid, we did expect to see a lot more from Uruguay there, and it has, for me, it's raised a few questions about maybe the expectations we had coming into this tournament, and also, like, further down the line, you know, thinking about the next round as we do now, just who's gonna progress there.
Well, so Portugal beat Morocco 1-0. They scored after 5 minutes. I was at that game, and Cristiano Ronaldo headed home from a corner. Amazingly, they didn't mark Cristiano Ronaldo at the corner, one of the best headers of the ball I've ever seen. And he scored, and then Morocco basically with a better team for 85 minutes and just couldn't score. Rui Patricio with an excellent save. But Portugal kind of ropey. I did my piece about whether they can win the World Cup, and my answer is still overwhelmingly yes, I think they can, because they were rubbish at Euro 2016, to be honest. They won one game in the whole thing in 90 minutes. They drew all three group games and went through as a lucky third place team behind Hungary, who topped their group, and Iceland. Then they got through on extra time. They got through on penalties against Poland. And then they beat Wales in the semi-final 2-0. And then extra time in the final. So that's how they want to do it. Fernando Santos is an ultimately very conservative coach. But if Portugal are going to play like this and Uruguay are going to play how they've played in the last two games, then the Portugal-Uruguay potential second round clash sounds like something that no one's going to want to go to, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, saying that, Santos, we know he's a defensive manager, but he's actually come out and said afterwards that he himself was quite disappointed with how they played. So, and he didn't expect them to sit off just as much as they did after the after scoring so early. So, you know, maybe the players were taking it on themselves a little bit. And on the question of whether they can win it, I'd agree that they still can, because, like you were saying, they were dreadful in the groups, or at least not very impressive in the group stages in 2016, and they've got, well, that's a win and a draw now, isn't it? But I don't think we really learned anything new about Portugal today. Really, we kind of knew that if they're going to make headway in this competition, a lot of that's going to depend on Ronaldo. Funnily enough, a bit like how if Argentina are going to progress as far as they can in this competition, they're going to have to rely on Messi. So, it's. I think it's a strange day, this one. It's maybe the first day. It almost feels like, obviously, we're progressing through the group stages now, and we're seeing the first teams being eliminated from the competition. But I don't know, like, today, all the matchups today, they kind of feel like, I know Portugal, Morocco is a bit closer, but it feel like foregone conclusions, and you know, we just kind of want to get this day out, go through the motions, and get it over with, really.
Yeah, and I guess we should talk about the late game as well, which was a better game than the early two. But for that, we're going to dial up Miguel, so we'll talk to Miguel in a moment, and then we'll come back after and wrap things up. Well, your boys made it, Migs, but it was pretty kind of tight in the end, and there were a few scary moments, I think, for Spain. So just first of all, just tell us how you see it.
Well, that was a proper battle of a game, enthralling and intense. It only 1-0. In a strange way, I think one of the most engaging games of the tournament, because you could sense how much was on the line, particularly for Iran, who felt they had history on the line, although obviously VAR got it right. I see there's been a fair bit of criticism for both sides, but I actually think it reflects well on both of them. First of all, I mean, Iran are fundamentally an inferior side to Spain. So fair enough they set up like that. It's the World Cup. You do what you have to do. But I mean, they defended brilliantly. A great plan, as we expected from Queiroz. I don't think they're quite a defensive side, like in the way some of the other, you know, medium-tier countries who have perpetuated this trend are. I think they're better than that. Queiroz is a very sophisticated defensive coach. I mean, there were times in the first half when Silva or Costa would get on the ball in the box and immediately all space would be crowded out. But they also caused Spain problems. And on the other side, although I think there's maybe should be a little bit of concern for Spain about how nervous they were in trying to break Iran down, to do that, to eventually do it, and it came from one of those runs through the centre from Iniesta, which is Spain's, I think, main quality, just the technique and creativity of those central players, ultimately bodes well. And I don't think Spain are going to come up against a defensive challenge like that again. Not even Uruguay, because I do think Iran are that good. And I think that they will cause Portugal problems. That is a proper playoff.
Yeah, I agree. It could be a proper playoff game. I think Iran have shown that they're not just any old side here that make up the numbers. Like some of the other Asian teams have been quite poor. I mean, Saudi Arabia most notably. And it is interesting as well, because Iran plays so differently, obviously, within the AFC. They're a different team because they have to go out and they have to dominate far inferior teams. So it is actually quite impressive the work they put in to flip their entire team around and then play in an incredibly defensive and disciplined manner. But Spain did they look quite good in some ways. They're dominant in every game, and they do look kind of just more cohesive than I think any other team we've seen so far.
On another note, there were times during that game, particularly in the first 55 minutes before they got the goal, when I was thinking Spain are crying out for David Villa.
Yeah, I agree.
Because that match really, really reminded me of the 2010 campaign for Spain. I mean, that was obviously a better Spain team. But as a result of that, they were coming up against, in every match, teams who defended like Iran, who just sit back deeper and deeper and deeper. But what got Spain out of the hole so much, now, particularly in the first five, four of the first five games against Honduras, Chile, Portugal and Paraguay, was David Villa. Now, Villa was almost the perfect striker of how Spain played then. Costa is not, but he is actually, that's almost good, because he just provides something different that opposition defences don't expect. He's just so awkward to play against. And the goal came from that. But he's fulfilling a David Villa role in his team, while being a very different player.
Yeah, we kind of covered that the other day. It is a sense of a guy who doesn't really fit like into the team stylistically, but like that almost makes him more of a dangerous weapon, because you know what the other guys are going to do. You know they're going to pass it around and dink and wait for like the perfect moment for the pass to go through. Whereas with Diego, he's just like a wrecking ball of a player, and it is kind of more dangerous. What problems did you see from Spain?
One other thing with Spain, actually, one other thing about that game that was quite odd, I thought, well, maybe not more inevitable. It was as if Spain were so tense until they got the goal, because they knew how much of a battle it was to open up Iran, that as soon as they got the goal, it was almost the complete opposite, that they became strangely relaxed and complacent, too relaxed. It was the extreme, and that led to some sloppiness. They're going to have to grow. In fact, it was almost the inverse of the game against Portugal. And the first half against Portugal, they're very sloppy at the back and completely shored up in the second. But that's in both games. They've made a few kind of needless defensive errors. They're quite casual, and they're going to have to cut that out. One other interesting element from that game, actually, had it gone on longer and Spain got the goal, that actually would have been the acid test for Hierro, maybe, because then he would have had to make the sort of subs, and particularly sort of very tactical minded subs that we knew Lopetegui could do. And that was the one quality maybe Spain were missing from Lopetegui, and all this argument about self-management. So it didn't get to that stage, but I think we've almost been denied a deeper answer about Spain because of their early goal.
And just to finish, we've given Iran some props for the way they survived basically being battered into submission for two games. But what do you actually think of them as a team? I mean, they're not someone who's going to go deep into this competition, are they?
On Iran, there were times in that game, and you almost be thinking, and it weren't off for Ronaldo, obviously, they could almost be favourites against Portugal. But I think they will give them problems. What could just save Portugal is that Iran now need to win that game. Portugal only need to draw to get through. And had it been the opposite way around, then it could have been, I think Portugal would have been in real trouble, because now Iran are going to be asked, because they have to go and win the game, they won't get to play their natural game, which is basically to sit deep and counter. They have to kind of take the game on their terms and maybe open themselves up to Ronaldo. But in saying that, I think that they've got enough going forward as well. They're a seriously good side.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you to Miguel, who's down in Nizhny Novgorod. He's very excited, I think, for tomorrow's game between Argentina and Croatia, which should be an interesting one. There is a chance, Chris. You know, we have said we are still waiting for a team to dazzle and blow us away. Spain's win came against like a stubborn Iran team, but again, you can't read too much into a win over someone like Iran in the same way that you can't necessarily read too much into Belgium's win over Panama or whatever. So Argentina versus Croatia is one of the top games, I think, in the entire group stage. It's up there with Portugal, Spain as two countries, I think, who are very strong throughout. Two countries who probably, you know, quarterfinal quality teams. Croatia, certainly their midfield, is one of the best in the competition. So who are you expecting to stand out tomorrow? It looks like Sampaoli is going to change things. Croatia will play probably how they always play, and try and hit Argentina on the counter.
Yeah, I mean, who am I expected to stand out?
I meant the other, you know, of all the teams playing tomorrow.
Oh, of all the teams playing tomorrow. No, I think that game in the evening is definitely the pick of them. France playing Peru earlier in the day is a really interesting one for me, I think, because we saw France and they were one of these few big guns, if you like, to win their opening game, but they weren't exactly impressive. You know, there was good bits, there was poor bits. And like we've been saying since the start of the tournament, we've still got so many questions about the manager. Or maybe they're not even questions, maybe they're conclusions that we know by now. He's not quite getting the best out of, extracting the best out of the group of players that he's got. So, and then with Peru, I mean, I'm trying to think through the first round games, was there any that we really think went, say, was a really undeserved result? Maybe the only one you'd pick out is Denmark beating Peru, because Peru were very impressive. They were just not, whether the speed of their play and their movement was brilliant, but they weren't quite picking their moments and taking their chances, and really trying to create quality opportunities. So if they can kind of sort that and fix that out, and then France don't quite click again, then we have a real contest there, and it might kind of shake things up in that group.
I think France do have a lot to prove. It wouldn't completely surprise me if Peru beat them. Peru, you know, if they lose, they're pretty much out the tournament, and it'd be sad because it's their first World Cup since 1990. I think they've been Egypt was 1990. Sorry, it's the first one since 1978, which is an incredibly long time, and they brought loads of fans, and it was such a big deal for them to even qualify in the first place, at the expense of a team like Ecuador or Paraguay, who have quite regularly qualified for World Cups in recent times, they don't have basically they don't have a finisher, which is Morocco's problem today. You know, Morocco and Peru have got quite a few similarities in terms of they're both teams that have played it really well in midfield and actually like some quite stylish football and flowing football. But Morocco today just couldn't finish. They didn't have a guy who was who was good at doing it. And you know, Guerrero was left on the bench in the last game, and he's their kind of striker and talisman and hero and stuff. But he's never been a good finisher. He's just a rampaging guy who, you know, puts a lot of work in, and he helps you win the ball back in good positions, and he'll run his heart out for the team.
He's also the guy who was banned for cocaine because apparently it was in his
contaminated tea.
Yeah.
Actually, Critch. So obviously, no suggestion of any wrongdoing there. But yeah, it's a shame that these teams, because like I think Morocco, were robbed, to be honest. They should have had at least one penalty. Portugal, Pepe is so desperate to not have Sergio Ramos be the ultimate villain that he will do anything. The moment where he gets tapped on the back, like literally tapped as in like the guy wanted to talk to him and was like tapping him on the shoulder and was like, "Hey, what's that?" And he tapped him on the back, and he, the way he goes to the ground like a sack of shit is just absolutely ridiculous.
Do you think it might be connected to the elbow from Diego Costa the other night? Maybe he's lost a bit of face there and he just wants to like reaffirm himself as like the World Cup's ultimate hard man.
No, but I mean, even the Diego Costa thing, as soon as he felt the contact, he's gone down, hasn't he?
Yes, but yeah, that was more a thing where he actually kind of gets, you know, like he just got absolutely beasted there, basically, didn't he, by Diego Costa?
Yeah, so, yeah, he got mashed in the face, but his instinct, as soon as someone goes near him, his instinct is bang, I'm going down,
yeah,
straight away, and occasionally that will backfire. It didn't today, and I thought Morocco, as I say, were unfortunate. They go home. They're the first team that's mathematically eliminated from the World Cup. And if they lose to Spain in their next game, I guess they could be one of the best teams I've seen to go home with 0 points. But I guess it all comes down to that game against Iran. And you have, if you're a weaker nation that's looking to upset the apple cart, you have to beat the teams that are kind of on your level. And losing that game to Iran when they were the better side has been immensely costly in the end.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, they always kind of knew, looking at this group and just the way it panned out, that they would need to take
a draw.
You probably need to take a win.
Yeah.
To be honest, I mean, you can take a draw.
You have to get a draw off one of the big teams.
Yeah, yeah. So we kind of knew from there on, and it's a shame, like you say, because I think I saw a tweet from Michael Cox, who's writing for us at the minute, and he said before they might well be the best World Cup team to finish on 0 points, and I mean the.
I mean, I also literally said that about 5 seconds ago as well.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you weren't paying attention because you were flinging your little spreadsheet. But.
Okay.
But I did say it a minute ago. That's another little peek behind the curtain. That's today's reference. Critch doesn't listen to me when I talk. Tomorrow's game, then. Which one haven't we mentioned?
Denmark-Australia. It's on the spreadsheet. So.
Denmark can seal qualification with a win against Australia, and I think you'd have to bat them to do that. Australia are already in last chance saloon. They absolutely have to win, and then they got a final game with Peru. Did you see enough from Australia in that France game to suggest that they've got a chance of upsetting Denmark and going through to the second round here?
I don't think it's a question of whether we saw enough from Australia. I think we didn't really see enough from Denmark to suggest that they'd. So you know what I mean? I think it was it's going to be quite an even contest. Australia against France, they had the penalty, and that was about it, wasn't it? We were watching it together before the Argentina game, and Denmark seem a bit cannier. Maybe they seem like, you know, we've said everybody knows it's going to rest on Christian Eriksen, just how good they are and whether they can, you know, achieve above expectation in this tournament. But I find that one a difficult one to call, and that's, like I say, that's why I think, you know, if Peru can pull off a shock against France, say they take 3 points, Australia, Denmark ends in a draw, then suddenly the group's wide open and you know, it's all to play for them.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought Australia really didn't create much. You know, at the end the French just sat behind the ball and it was like, go on then, like, make something happen.
I think they're going to be the weakest team in the group.
Yeah, well. Yeah, they do.
I don't think there's a question.
They do have that sense. And it's funny because they weren't that far away from getting a point in that game. They weren't good, but they weren't that far away from getting a point. And everything would feel so much different. Because Denmark would be dominating the group. People would be talking about France's problems. Yeah. You know, Australia, could they nick something off Denmark? Because then they're in, you know, then it's just going down to the final game with Peru. But that's how narrow the margins are in it. And that freak goal from Pogba really deflected one that was given by Golden Line technology.
We kind of know what to expect from Bert van Marwijk teams as well. We've seen it, like, at the 2010, most obviously. So you wonder whether they're going to need to, you know, show a little bit more adventure if they're going to pull off the results that they need. But now, I personally don't see it. Like I say, I think they're easily the weakest team in the group and probably be going home.
And then, yeah, Argentina-Croatia is the other one, which is going to be an extraordinary game. I mean, if Argentina do lose that, then stuff's going to go down in Buenos Aires. And in fact, all over Argentina. Jorge Sampaoli will not be able to set foot back in his homeland, I think, ever again. And
do you remember when River Plate got relegated and there was riots for about 4 days?
Yeah, 2011.
Four days? What's the spread on that? Do you reckon?
No, it was less than that. It was less than that.
No. I mean, if Argentina go out.
Oh, if Argentina go out.
A week's worth or?
Oh, yeah. I mean, all bets are off. Like, the absolute guarantee is the McDonald's by the Obelisco is getting smashed in. Like, every window is going.
Okay.
Every window is going. The Obelisco is traditionally where they go to celebrate big victories. And you know, if a team wins the league, they head to Obelisco. If Argentina does good stuff at something, you know, they won the Hockey World Cup a couple of years ago, that's where they go. I think the centre of Buenos Aires is in all sorts of trouble if they lose to Croatia. I mean, they didn't lose to Iceland, but it felt like a loss, and there is a fear that they're quite directionless. I know that Sampaoli previously to the tournament had different plans for these three group games, and so the changes that he's going to implement for this are not just as a reaction to the first game. We always knew we were going to have to change it, and you have to, because you know you need to have a different midfield to play against Modric, Rakitic, and whoever else they're going to chuck in there, whether it's Brozovic or Bedelli or Kovacic. You've got to have a different midfield against those guys as you do against Iceland. And they were very close to winning the game against Iceland, obviously only a penalty away. Lionel Messi took that penalty miss quite hard, and there's a good piece by Miguel on that today. But I guess we'll just have to see how it goes. We'll check in with Migs again tomorrow, who's in Nizhny for that one. And yeah, I guess that's all for today. So as ever, on your day off, thank you for your time.
Awesome.
And as ever, if you go to independent.co.uk to enunciate the actual words /football, you'll find all of the great World Cup content. Plus, as usual, you know, on the social channels and on the podcast, which you're probably already subscribed to. But if you know, you haven't told all your friends about it, then it's probably about time. If you don't like the podcast, then as ever, just let me know and I'll give you a full refund on what you've paid. Until tomorrow, I'm Emmanuel. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.